Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. Whoops. Sorry, banged my little standard lamp. How are you this morning? It is the 18th of August 2025. Grey day today, and I kind of predicted it was going to be a grey day because yesterday when I looked up, you could see the scarring of the sky. Ye olde chemtrails, they were all over the place. And I said to Julia, I said, oh, it's going to be a grey day tomorrow. And there it is. You know, it's a bit much now when you can predict the weather, not from meteorological readings, not from studying maps, but just looking up and seeing what the aeroplanes are doing, what they're spraying in the sky. I know still people will listen to this and say, it's not true, it's not true. But when one can predict the weather from what they spray in the sky, it's very difficult to deny it. But there you are. And the government tells us they're doing it. So at what point, really, do people have to really check their brains out and go,
the government are telling us they're doing it now, and the evidence is in front of my face. And it is possible to predict the weather from how they spray the skies, but no, it's not happening.
And I think people just love to have their head in the sand, don't they? But anyway, I'll leave that up to them. I'm not really bothered. So, it is a Monday, it's the beginning of the week. I've got some paperwork to catch up with today and get out, some letters to get out, first day of the week. Sometimes I sort of get them ready over the weekend and things like that, and then I think, well, what's the point of posting them? The way the postage service is not as good as it used to be. The reputation for me of the postal service was blighted after the day I went in to the post office to send a second class letter, and the woman behind the till said, well, I can't guarantee it will get there. I said, excuse me, I'm offering, I think I told you this, I was absolutely incensed. You're offering a service, this is the post office we're talking about, you're offering a service, aren't you? Yes. To deliver letters that we post here, yes, for a fee, yes. And there are two tiers of service, one which will get there the next day, was the original idea as far as I remember. And then one second class, which means it'll get there perhaps 2 days later, you know, when they can be bothered. But it will get there. That was the essence of it. It will get there. But now they're saying, well, we can't guarantee it'll get there. Well, what's the point of your service then? Otherwise, what are you doing? Just chucking it in the bin? Anyway, I had that rant not so long ago. I'm just washing up, actually, last night. We went out yesterday and got back late and had a late dinner, and so I'm just washing up. I think Julia's off to her mum's today to pick up her elder son, and I am. Oops. Sorry about the banging and crashing. I don't normally do the washing the day before, as you know. Well, you know this, you listen in regularly enough. You probably know the habits better than I do. But just on some occasion, so I had a beer, and Julia had something, which was very nice, just a nice relaxing evening, really. Got the SE lit. We went to the farm shop yesterday on a Sunday, which is a bit unusual for us. Go on a Sunday, but we realised we were running a bit low, running low particularly on milk. That is it's where they get us a little bit, because you know, used to get the old milkman come round. I used to love that when the milkman would come round and he'd have eggs and bread and a few bits and pieces that you could also have back in the old days. And Unigate, do you remember the Unigate milkman? Well, I don't know if they still do that. When I was married, we were going to the supermarket, and then we realised that they still did the milk, and I thought, well, we'll go and give that a try, do it. We did it for a while, but it was expensive to get milk delivered. And I've often thought, why don't they do other things? It would be nice to have, and I would love to see again, a grocery van, like in the old days. In the old days, as we have discovered on in this podcast, reading various books, you know, the butcher used to go out and make his deliveries. The baker used to have, you know, a little kiddie on the baker's boy and the bakery boy, the butcher boy. They would go out and do the deliveries. And I can't imagine now the government wanting to lock everybody up, that wouldn't have been a good idea. What with all the bloody vans on the roads, that would stop people going out and about, wouldn't it? If the companies, but of course they want you to, well, I suppose you could argue that that's exactly what they are doing. But it's the big supermarkets are doing the delivery, not the individual companies. And why is that? I suppose they want to outprice the family-run businesses. You only have to look and see that that's exactly what's going on. And do not these corporate companies have enough corner of the market? Well, they do, but it's down, and people can moan about it, but they use them. So I don't use them. I haven't been in a supermarket, haven't ordered from a supermarket either for, well, it's well over, must be 18 months now, something like that. Maybe more, maybe 2 years. Just don't go to supermarkets. I mean, the time just rolls by. I don't know what it's like in Morrison's, and Morrison's is right next to me. But the farm shop, oh, I know, some people be sitting there going, oh, Richard, he's holier than thou, isn't he? But unless one makes a stand, and it's very easy to sort of go, yeah, but life's busy, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but. It depends if you want change, doesn't it? People, I think, often say they want change. They don't want things to be, you know, the big corporations taking over everything, demanding everything. And then they just say, oh, but it's too difficult. It's too difficult to do anything else. Julia's saying something, I can't hear her. Oh, yes, too scared. They're too scared to facilitate or to take a chance that going and getting the raw milk. Or perhaps, you know, they're just... At the end of the day, people are lazy, generally, because they will take the line of least resistance, even if they know in their hearts that perhaps it's not a good idea. They'll say, ah, yeah, but what can you do? Well, what you can do is to make a bloody effort and go to the nearest farm shop. Now, I appreciate some people in the city say can't get out to farm shops. But what they could do, perhaps, is club together and use the social media's tools and say, look, well, if we all club together, maybe we could get one driver to go and do 10 different pickups, put their money together, and one person goes off to do it effectively. And I mean, people can go to Riverford or any of these other veg box schemes and get their veg that way. So anyway, I don't mean to be moaning about it. I'm not really moaning. I suppose I'm criticising, if anything. Criticising those that will say, oh, well, Richard's holier than thou. And I guess I'm not really holier than thou. I just want to eat good food. I want to eat good food. And then others will argue, ah, but is the food any better than in the supermarkets? Well, unless you actually eat a diet of food that you have a better provenance of where it comes from, a better idea, unless you do that for, say, a couple of months, I mean, you know, one meal is not going to make the difference, but if you do it over a couple of months, you start to noticing how you feel, how much more energy you've got, or how less lethargic you are. And, I mean, You only really have to look at, compare how people lived in the old days, and I don't mean ancient days, you know, go back just a few decades. Nowadays, stuff comes to the door, people are playing computer games, they're watching the television, they're on their tablets, they're on their laptops, they are more sedentary than ever. Everything's done on a computer. Now you've got AI doing everything for you, so you don't even have to think. If you wanted to know stuff, you went to the library. You got off your fat ass and you did things. But, you know, most people take the line of least resistance. But there are those out there, of course, thank God. There are those out there who don't. Anyway, don't know where all that lot came from, but I suppose when you think of people who, I don't know, some people I mean, I don't really read the comments on these videos that I make anymore, because I don't need the praise. I don't need the praise. Yes, it's nice to have some shared information. But for some reason, I think we generate so many haters. People just seem to hate them. I'm not quite sure why. Isn't it laudable to try and set out and do things on your own to be a bit different, to not conform? But it would seem that that's not laudable, that everybody wants you to not question things. Even though I state categorically, it's just an opinion. It's just how I want to live my life. Other people want to, you know, stick an oar in, and you just think, I don't know why is that? Because they're too frightened to do it themselves? They're too jealous? I don't know. They're bored? They can't find another channel? They don't know. Perhaps they're so lazy, they just can't find another YouTube channel. Say, oh God, I'm so lazy, I'm stuck with this channel. I can't actually go and find a channel I like, so I'll just carry on ribbing this chap who's trying to do things. I don't know. Who knows? Who cares? Anyway, that's the Monday moan. The Monday moan.
Monday moan.
But whilst I've had the Monday moan, I have been washing up, which is a little something I've needed to do, get another little job. I don't have a dishwasher, you see? Don't have a dishwasher.
You do, it's your hands.
Oh, yes, I do it myself.
And my hands.
Yes. Oh, that's all right. Don't mind. I quite enjoy it. Gives me an opportunity to have a good old moan. Oh, dear. There we go.
Good old whinge and a moan, huh?
Yes. Right. Couple more items to wash up.
Excellent.
Trouble is, I'll rinse these after I've washed them, because the grease is getting a bit grubby. Sorry, I thought I would be much quicker, ladies and gentlemen, on the washing up front. There's lots of little pots here.
I thought it was going to be quicker getting down here, and I was going to take over. But you practically done it.
I seem to have an inordinate amount of these. I don't know where they came from, but about a billion dishcloths that just, they keep...
What, those specific ones, the white
ones? Yeah.
I bought a pack of them for cleaning up.
Oh, I see. Well, it's very kind of you.
Yeah.
It's just, I keep finding them in places.
Well, I didn't even open the pack, so...
Oh, it must have got split somewhere.
Yeah, because it was in the bucket.
Oh, okay. A lot of things go in that bucket, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, what else is there going on in our lives? You're off, aren't you?
Sure, yeah.
I've got another video to make. I'm not quite sure what to make about. I think somebody sent me an email about something. Which I thought, well, that could be quite interesting. That might, all my views are so low now, because people want the fear. There's so many channels that do fear, and, you know, look what happened now, what's going to happen. And you think, well, we were talking about that a year ago. No, 2 years ago. No, 3 years ago. Did it happen?
Were some people talking about that 20 years ago?
Yeah, maybe they were. And did it happen? Still waiting for it to happen. But in the meantime, all the time we're waiting for it to happen, we're all in fear. So
life goes spinning on by.
Yeah. We've got to enjoy life and be more positive. So I know I really only want to do positive videos, even though this podcast, of course, is has been a little bit negative in places. Mainly in front of the sink. But we did... It was good to find the English couple, that video that we thought we lost. Bless you.
Excuse me.
And if you didn't see it, the English couple, we filmed it in May when we went to Craneage. Some time ago now, May, isn't it? And it was on a different card. This is fat.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just trying to rinse it out.
Yeah.
Put it in there to soak, because that's all fat in there, hot water and fat. I'll just leave it to soak for a bit and then I'll rinse it out. I need to get more dishcloths, because all our dishcloths... The one thing about having an Essie...
Tea
towel, beg your pardon.
Complaining we've had too many dishcloths.
Yes, that's true. Sorry, I've got dishcloths on the brain. Don't do that, because he'll pull it and fall. Yes, one thing about having an Essie is your dishcloths do tend to get blacker much quicker. Oh, there we are. It's on by your foot now.
I thought I'd have something lob on me. There we go. Stay.
Stay. I might have to make another cuppa in a minute. Well, I think another cuppa and a smoke of the pipe is what is in order today. Just tidying up. Because we went out yesterday, things got dumped all over the place. So there's a bit of a, today's a bit of a tidy up day. Gather one's loins. Got paperwork to catch up with. And, of course, pipes to smoke. So I need to wash some of these cravats as well. And I've got some washing to wash up. So, yes, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry, it's not terribly scintillating. Oh, just finally on this, I've been reading this, as you may be aware, and I haven't spoken about it for a long time, but I did when I first started it. This is Lady Chatterley is Lover by D.H. Lawrence, and I am just under halfway through. And I have to tell you, that's it. I'm not reading anymore. Because they had the trial back in the 1920s when it first came out. And the jurors had to sit and read the book. They couldn't take it home. They weren't allowed to take it home in case people made copies of it and all of this and smuggle it out. It mentions words like penis and clitoris and women having orgasms and things like that, which, of course, is, you know, such a shock. And it probably was a bit shocking, but
it was the first time it was done, wasn't it?
Yes. Anyway, I got halfway through this sodding book. And I thought, I'm glad I'm not one of those jurors who had to sit there and read it. It's not as titillating as, you know, one might think, certainly by these today's standards. And you could probably just go online and find some porn, text porn, you know, or in a bookshop. I mean, Catherine Cookson probably has written more graphic stuff, I think. Unless it's in the second half... And you're duped to lead up into this sort of whatever that was supposed to be in it. But D.H. Lawrence writes in a very strange style. If you've read any of D.H. Lawrence's, let me know and what you think. Because, to be honest with you, I found his style of writing difficult to read. And difficult. I don't like it when an author doesn't do proper sentences. And because you're taught, aren't you, how to write English, and most books write in English correctly, and they have a point to each sentence, and it starts with a capital letter and ends with a full stop and what have you, and it's a convention. And because you've got that convention, you can read and gather the meaning of sentences very quickly so that you can enjoy the narrative without thinking. I suppose you would equate that to a car, that it, when you get into a car... most days, most cars either have a push button start, the modern ones, or a key. And back in the early days, you'd have had a starting handle. And the steering wheel, the convention in this country for cars built in this country is the steering wheel is on the right-hand side. So, and the pedals are standardised. So that when you get into a car, any car, hired car or a van that you're borrowing, what have you, basically you can drive that car without having to think, oh, the pedals are all in the wrong place. The accelerator is on the left now, not on the right. And so that means you can do the job that you want to do with the car, go to the place, pick up stuff, if it's a lorry or whatever, and you don't have to think about where the gear stick is and the brake and all those, because the convention is there. And so that's the same with sentence structure. But he decides to have slightly different sentence structure. And so you're trying to work out, so you're very much thrown out of the book because you're aware of how weirdly written it is. And that's, I suppose, this is another version of that would be you're watching a film and you continually see the boom. You know, you're watching a fantasy film set in a fantasy world, and every now and again you'll just continually see either, you know, somebody holding the lights or somebody holding the boom. And you're immediately taken out of the story because you can see the mechanics of the production. And it's a bit like that. Some people may disagree with me and they may say, well, that's his poetic style. Well, he can keep that. Thanks very much. I pick up a book to lose, especially a fiction book, to lose myself, to enjoy the characters. I don't pick up a book to just suddenly reminded that they are writing in a weird style. Anyway, so there we go. I just thought I'd mention that in case any of you have written it. Julia asked me why I was reading it yesterday. And I said, well, it's just one of those books that keeps cropping up every now and again in conversation. Not conversations I had. There's a Norman Wisdom film in which he refers to it when he is a policeman in On the Beat. And there's a sequence where he's trying to be Neopo Pololitani, whatever his name is, because he looks like a gangster. So the police have got him to dress up like the gangster and walk like the gangster does, whose cover is a hairdresser. You know, if you've never seen the film, none of that would make any sense. But anyway, so he puts books on his head to try and get this walk, to get the sort of, you know, the walk that it has, because it could keep his head up and straight and what have you. And one of the books falls off and it comes down. And he picks it up and he goes, "Oh, it's Lady Chatterley's lover!" And they, you know, they it's just a byway. But every now and again, this Lady Chatterley's lover is a sort of there. It was an iconic book of the day. Of course, the jury and the trial, all that it was nonsense anyway, was important for this stupid system of censorship, because they said it would corrupt people's minds. Well, of course, it doesn't corrupt anybody's minds. Nature is nature. And if a man sticks his penis in a woman's vagina, you know, that's natural stuff. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. I often wonder why people would get upset with that and find that terrible, yet they'll happily watch people shoot each other or knife each other or scare themselves the crap out of them watching horror films, which kids are allowed to watch, but they can't watch biological. They can watch bunnies fornicating, but they can't watch grown-ups fornicating, as long as it's done in, you know. Anyway, let's not get into that argument, but it is bonkers. There's the whole censorship world, and we are, of course, what with the Online Safety Act now, even more cautious, aren't we, apparently, because it's a grey area in which people can have their podcast taken down because, you know, somebody, it's like the offence thing. Oh, I'm offended. Well, what is it that offends you? And it just doesn't even have to be that I'm offended for somebody else. I mean, these laws are so vague, which is why just get out of acts and statutes and all that and walk away from the UK corporation, because it's broken. It's broken. It doesn't help anybody. And it's only for dead entities. But anyway, people don't want me to talk about that, so they can carry on being a dead entity. I don't care. Thanks for listening. Till next time. Goodbye.